The Business on RT Radio 1 with Ulster Bank. For when you're keen to know what Brexit means for your business, visit ulsterbank.ie/Brexit.
First, we're joined by Roz and John Hubbard. One of their early proteges, Saoirse Ronan, is in line for an Oscar this weekend. Roz and John have been central in the world of movie casting for years now. They were early champions of talent such as Kate Winslet, Sienna Miller, Colin Farrell and Jonathan Rhys-Meyers. Roz and John join me now. The casting industry sounds very glamorous.
It sounds very glamorous, actually. I think it's probably why I went into it. It sounded glamorous. In fact, it's like every other job. When you get used to it, it still has the toil of every day, and it's pushy and quite competitive.
When it comes to casting, John, what is it that a casting director is really looking for?
Something different. It's fantastic when you get a sort of thrill up the back of your spine because somebody is doing something that just seems to be right. You can't explain it. It's not really just a taste thing. I'm just getting this feeling, you know.
And you see, it's different when people are big names and they're experienced. There's a whole sort of presence and an aura and power behind them. But when you're trying to find somebody new, how much of it is visuals, how they look, or how much of it then is how they move or they sound?
Well, life, I mean, the whole business is about how you look, first of all. I mean, nobody sort of, when you come in, has their eyes closed and goes, we'll do the talking first, and then, you know, then we'll look at you. And then it is about your acting skills.
In looking for that something different, who have you seen that in, and when did you see it?
Well, we found Kate Winslet, John did actually, and halfway through her first read, he said, fine, that's great. And she looked at him, she was 15 years of age, and she said, what did I do wrong? He said, no, you did everything right, you don't need to read on, you're going to meet Peter Jackson.
How long did she have to read for?
Oh, 20 seconds, I suppose.
20 seconds?
Yeah, it's really fast. I mean, sometimes it's one line, you know, they just have to say something to you and you go, oh my God, that's great, you know. Can't explain it. It's what you're looking, you're hearing exactly what you want, what you're looking for. And it's a timbre of the voice, it's their understanding of the character, all wrapped up, and suddenly it comes out. Yeah. And it is magic, actually. Yeah.
Where do you go looking for this new
talent?
Well, there's
fabulous amounts of agents around, as you probably know.
And in the past, though, I presume it wasn't as structured. But like, did you find yourself travelling around shopping centres? You went to the theatre.
Well, with the Commitments, for instance, we were out on the street day after day, or we were at the music scene in Dublin at the time, late 80s, early 90s, was amazing. So you would be doing clubs every night and meeting amazing bands, wonderful musicians, great characters. So every night we would go out, and we weren't that young then either, but they'd be looking like, Jesus, who's your woman? And who's he? And what the heck are they doing? And at the end, we'd go up to them and say, listen, we're doing a little film here. Would you mind coming in tomorrow and do a little workshop with us? And that was how that was done.
Yeah. Because with the Commitments, the director, Alan Parker, wanted
musicians first,
actors second, yes, in a sense. So you had to start with musicians.
I mean, we always had a problem with Joey the Lips. Joey the Lips was quite tricky to cast, even though we introduced Alan to Johnny Murphy as one of the first actors, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so just keep going. And I remember we heard that most beautiful trumpet sound coming out of Grafton Street.
On a Saturday.
And we looked at each other and said, oh, this is a mess. We've got to go and see this guy, you know. So we went up to the guy, waited him to finish, and we said, we're casting. And he didn't speak any English. He was a French trumpeter, and he was just great. It was like, you know, one of the most disappointing casting.
Can you do a Dublin accent?
Yes, in English.
Going back to the start, Roz, you were born in Dublin.
Yes.
You moved to the States, to Los Angeles, when you were quite young, but it wasn't necessarily casting, was it?
No, I went into an advertising agency called J. Walter Thompson, which was full of Mad Men style atmosphere, because it wasn't today or yesterday. And
was it really like Mad Men?
Well, I never went as far as some of them women did now on Mad Men. I was a typical Irish Rosalind Park girl.
You were shocked.
Shocked to the a cup of tea meant much more than a 3 and 9 penny movie in Dublin at the time, you know. So, but I got used to it because I had been around model agencies and things before. But it was very like Mad Men, the atmosphere, the power of advertising. And so I learned an awful lot about how you put your foot forward and think fast, talk slowly if you feel you're getting into a jam. And I worked in what they used to call the broadcasting department. And that's where there was a lady called Margaret Hoppen Nelson who taught me an awful lot about casting.
So what were you doing? What was your first job?
I was mainly emptying flowers on a vice president's desk and making sure everything was right and walking Perry Como down the corridor and Tennessee Ernie Ford, really people that nobody knows now.
You have to explain who Perry Como is.
Oh, Perry Como, yeah. Catch a falling star, which I am doing still.
But you obviously, you kept your eyes and ears open in doing that job mm-hmm. and learned a lot mm-hmm. from that.
Yeah, I did. I learned a huge amount about actually how you treat people and particularly stars and how nervous they are, which you don't think out here in the real world. But you could bring in a really big name. They don't read for parts, the big names, but they might be just meeting the director and having lunch with them. You honestly are walking a shaking person in there, like young actors. They never lose that nervousness. It's always there, the fear.
And what about you, John? Your background was in advertising?
Yes. And actually, the turning point for me was like the Hampstead Theatre and a very famous Kafka play, which I've forgotten, about the human changes into a cockroach, and Stephen Berkoff was the actor. I couldn't believe what he was doing, I could believe that he was becoming a cockroach. And I sort of said, I just love, had to be around these people, they're amazing. And because actors are, in racing terms, they're the racehorses. They're set apart from the crowd and the punters mm-hmm. and the bookers and all this. And they have something special.
So how did the two of you meet then? You were in Los Angeles. You came home. Did
came
you
home. Couldn't
Los
wait
Angeles?
To come back to Lansdowne Rugby Club and all that. I thought that was life, really.
Not L.A.?
Not L.A., no. It was full of miserable people, you know, driving everywhere and walking on the street was dangerous. It got worse now, you know. But I loved Dublin, and the scene in Dublin was amazing when I was younger.
The 60s had arrived.
Yes, yeah. Not in the way our children think, of course. We weren't all smoke and dope and being bold, but we were alive and we were beginning to think out.
And John, you had grown up in England, but you were in Dublin. You were living in Dublin when
I was,
you met.
I was going to a job in America to be a trainee producer. And I met a friend, Kim Roberts, on the street in London. And he said, do you want a job in Ireland now? And I mean, I was the usual ignorant Englishman who didn't really know where Ireland was. And it was a bog off the Welsh coast. And I knew nothing, you know. And I said, yeah, I'll go over and have a look. And I came over and I was taken out to Dublin. I don't remember actually getting on the plane and getting home that night. It was just extraordinary with the Wicklow Hotel, the lovely marble bar.
We met at the Cork Film Festival. I was working for a model agency then. In fact, I was one of the partners. And we met in Cork.
In the Squeaky Springs Hotel, yeah, the Silver Springs Hotel in Cork.
Yeah. And there in the bar was John Hubbard, who I now realise was probably very drunk because he was so quiet. I thought, does he speak? Does it speak?
And I will never sit on one of those turning bar stools again because I turned and fell at her feet. That's how we met.
Yeah, not romance.
And you've been married for over 50 years.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not falling off so many bar stools.
No, that's gone now.
So at some point you decided to work together and advertising and modelling turned into casting in a wider sense. How did all that happen?
Well, Ros was started casting in Dublin, and then when we went back to London, I broke my kneecap playing football.
He had a very successful career in advertising, though. He's a director of a
football,
company.
No,
not football. Sadly, I never became a footballer's wife. A failure there.
Anyway, when I had to go home and stay for 2 weeks because to mend the knee. And, you know, a lot of married couples don't have the opportunity to have long conversations at home and in the week. And so this is what we're going. We're going like, should I join you? Because I really like actors and all that.
And of course, he was brilliant at it, so that helped.
So is this a, you're in London. What was life like in London at that time? It must have been a great time to be there.
It was pretty wild, I must say.
Well, end of the 60s, early 70s.
Yes, yeah.
Well, I was having children. Yes. Amy was 72 and Dan was 75. So there was quite a bit of, I wonder if he's going to come home from the Barley Mow tonight stuff going on. but also the huge attraction of the advertising world, because it was brilliant in those days. And he'd just done a huge butter commercial here and he left on a high with Cyril Cusack doing the commentary voiceover. And it was a fabulous trade to be in, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah. The thing about advertising is that because you work in so many areas, on so many products, so many services, you get a huge knowledge about things, you know, which is a really, really good feeling that you feel like you know something about the world, you know. But then you get quite bored because it's a very young person's business. I mean, you know, it's 18-year-old people, and as soon as you go in advertising over like 30, 35, you know, you're
past it.
You're past it, you know. Yeah.
It may not be the same now, but it was then, and definitely.
I must ask you about some of the people that, the actors that you have discovered, mentioned about Kate Winslet. Jonathan Rhys-Meyers.
Yes.
In Cork, where did you find him or he find you?
I was working on War of the Buttons, which was a remake of the German, the French film, La Guerre des Boutons. And whilst I was there, I would go round to like billiards clubs or pool clubs and boxing clubs and things like that, because that's where you find kids who are quite disciplined but look naughty. So we were looking for naughty kids, you know. And nowadays, it's definitely where you get versatility. You will find great black kids in boxing clubs who really know how to do what they're told but look like they're going to do something awful. And we went into the Vic Sporting Club, the Victoria Sporting Club in Cork. And the man there, many times I've meant to go back and give him a hug. I described the character we were looking for, and he said, well, there's a guy who comes in here. He's not here today. His name is Jonathan. I'll give him a shout and he'll come in tomorrow. And he rang him, and he lived in Buttevant or somewhere like that. And Jonathan came the next day, and both Mary Maguire and myself, she's casting associate, saw this star quality and this beautiful young man, star-like boy with an interesting privacy to him. And we got very excited about him. And the next day I came in then, met him, and we put him in the car. Actually, Mary put him on tape. She said, what'll I do with him? I said, put him in the car and take him home. So he took him down to Skibbereen, where our production office was with David Putnam. And we stole the child. In those days, you could do that. You couldn't do it now. You'd have to definitely have a certificate to say you were safe with children and everything would be okay. So she drove him down to Skibbereen, and then we rang the person who was in charge of Jonathan. He was a ward, and he absolutely entranced everybody, but strangely didn't get that particular part. But we introduced him to another agent.
And of course it all took off from there. Alan Parker calling to do The Commitments, that was a big moment for your business, wasn't it?
Very big. It was going to be one of two films roughly shouting off at the same time, The American Way, which had another name in the end when it was released, and then The Commitments. And to go home to Ireland to do a film was amazing. We were working in London at the time. And they had told Parker that there's a pair who don't do films very much. They do commercials, but they'll do it. And she's from Dublin and he's English, and so he'll keep her on track and whatever. And we went to the Groucho Club for the meeting, the interview, as it were. And we all got drunk, Parker as well. He was nervous of meeting Irish person from Dublin, and I was nervous of meeting Alan Parker, and so was John. And we drank a lot of vodka that night and were fluthered, but we won each other over. And I was certainly learning about Dublin from Alan Parker within days. He had really, really studied what he was
about
to do.
He's one of the most intelligent men you could ever, ever meet. Well, he understood most about Ireland. He didn't, when he talked about accents, they said, well, what's the accent going to be? And he said, are they different? And I said, oh, my, Ireland, you know, there's about 63 different accents. I mean, five alone in Dublin, you know. So we took him to the film.
Francis Xavier Hall to see...
The football play.
Yeah, Goal. Was it called Goal? No, I don't know what it was called, but Johnny Murphy was in it.
Yeah, he got the soul and the spirit of the Commitments.
Yeah, he did.
From that play,
I think so.
You know?
I think so. And Peter, he took all the dirty words out of that play, but had to put them all back in again. A, it lost half of it, and B, it wasn't right without the...
The bad language.
And he was brave enough because the distributors in America said, OK, Alan, we're gonna subtitle the movie, you know. And he said, no, you're not. I don't want subtitles. I want the pure language, you know. And I thought that was very brave.
Mm. Peter Jackson knocked at your door, Lord of the Rings.
Well, he rang years before Lord of the Rings, and he sent me a script, and he was shooting in New Zealand, and... It was like a sort of like the worst possible horror script you could ever read, you know? And
but he was delightful.
Yeah. Well, it was work, you know. So, and so
you said
so
it's brilliant, Peter. I love it.
Yeah,
we still
of course,
saying that.
Yes. And I asked him. I said, why did you do that film? You know, this is after Heavenly Creatures and all the rest, you know. And he said, I was raising money to make Heavenly Creatures. And I thought, get it, I got it.
So after working with all of these actors and directors and everything, are you the least starstruck people around?
No.
Does
well,
that
the
ever go away?
I think I am.
You're sick of them all, are you, John?
Don't mind if he chokes them on the way into the loo in the Oscars when he goes to that. But... I'm certainly starstruck still.
I spoke to Will Ferrell at the Oscars only because we wanted him for a film.
That's right.
That's the only reason. And I went up and I was with my son, Dan, and I introduced myself. And he was really, really nice. And I introduced myself to his wife and everything. But that, you know, I don't know. I don't really believe in the stardom thing, and these people are here, and it's just a matter of uncovering the opportunity, uncovering that talent.
So what about working together? Do you ever have creative differences?
All our rows are over by 6 o'clock in the evening, so it's great. You know, we have lovely evenings.
Yeah, we do have creative differences, but they're not
dreadful.
And also the bosses get confused now and again because Roz says fabulous and John says I think we should keep looking. Yeah. So it's
are
it's
you harder to impress, John, are you?
I think so. I'm more likely to say no where you're likely to say possible.
Give
I
them
think.
A chance.
And your son and daughter, Dan and Amy, they're both in casting.
They're both very rich, I think, now, because they're nice to us. Well, they give us things and everything.
So what are they went, they stuck with the business, they went out on their own, and are they based in Ireland or are they abroad? Or?
London, but both in London, yeah.
They'd like to be based in Ireland, but the volume of the work is
Dan,
there.
Dan does movies, you know, he's just finished Guy Ritchie's new movie, and Amy does amazing sort of television, like the Christine Keeler story and the White House Farm, which are both running
Murders
at the moment.
And she's doing
very, very difficult to sort of more like social.
Well, she started in Bradford, the Hollywood of the north of England, where it is not an easy place to live and children grow up, but she's found the most incredible talent there.
They've both impressed us. That's unusual, isn't it? That, you know, both of them have, you think, God, she did that. She thought about that. She found him, you know, amazing.
The Oscars are coming up. Saoirse Ronan is always talked about.
Fourth
in Ireland,
fourth nomination.
Do you think she'll get one this time?
I'm doubtful. I think she's the one who should get it. But they all went for Judy. with Renée Zellweger on the BAFTAs. Now, the Americans may have a different feeling about it and go for a really beautiful American piece. I think one of the best adaptations of Little Women I've ever seen.
And you know Saoirse Ronan, you've cast
I'm
her.
I'm practically her godmother. If there was religion in the way, I would be her godmother. And we've known her since she was a little kid, yes. And we've cast her only in minor little things, getting her going. She's a flawless actress, flawless.
She will be very, very disappointed. I mean, you know, if you don't get the first Oscar, it's very, very disappointing. If you don't get the fourth, that's, you know, but I...
But it's in the Meryl Streep area kind of thing. These sort of people literally have to get used to being nominated. And, you know, if you only get nominated once, to be nominated is enough. Not if you're getting four from the age of 9 to 20, what is she now, 23, 24? Right.
And also,
but she'll move on from she'll move on.
I mean, with Zellweger for Judy, I mean, in one sense, you know, we're Oscar voters, members of the Academy, and there are 6,000 of us, and I know that many of those thousands would have been a fan of Judy Garland, you know, and sometimes that affects voting.
Because we're ingenues in the Academy. Yes. Everybody's 108.
And what about work now? Are you still busy? Do you, want to be busy?
We don't want to be busy. We want to be sort of exclusive and picky. We've just done Riverdance's first film. It's an animation. And we've loved it.
And what about the idea that directors, I presume, at some point, some directors who wouldn't have worked with you in the past, they might say... well, Roz, we might like the Hubbards to do this, but I'd like to come for you to interview with me as to whether I'll select you or not.
We still
and
have
then,
to do
I was going
to
say, and then in your career, you get past that to a point, and then maybe you reach a point where you say, to hell with that.
Well, there's one person I'll interview any time is Spielberg. I really want to work for Steven Spielberg before I, whatever I do next, go into proper bank robbing.
Well, Roz and John Hubbard, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for joining us on the programme.
Pleasure for us as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.